The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter Number 10, Text Number 21, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on November 8th, 2007, in Sofia, Bulgaria.
So today we are diving even deeper into that sweet nectarian ocean, Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter Number 10. Text number 21. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yadatmani Niralokam Atmanang Chajadrikshata Nirbhinehi Yakshani Tashya Jyotishchakshur Gunagraha. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. And thus, when everything existed in darkness, the Lord desired to see Himself and all that was created. Then the eyes, the illuminating God's Son, the power of vision, and the object of sight all became manifested. Purport. The universe is by nature dense darkness, and therefore the total creation is called tamas, or darkness. The night is the real feature of the universe, for then one cannot see anything, including oneself. The Lord, out of His causeless mercy, first desired to see Himself and all the creation as well, and thus the sun became manifested. The power of vision for all living entities became possible, and the objects of vision were also manifested. This means that the whole phenomenal world became visible after the creation of the sun. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitam Shcha. So, it is stated in the Vedic wisdom, Tamasi Ma Jyotirgama. Do not remain in the darkness, come to the light. It is also stated that Godhead is light and nescience is darkness. Where there is Godhead, there is no nescience. So, another place it is mentioned that this Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Sri Krishna to His own abode, accompanied by what? Religion, knowledge, etc. Those persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. So, we also worship the Brahmins. We worship the Lord who is actually manifested. The sun god is actually an incarnation of Krishna. So we worship in the Gayatri Mantra. We're worshiping the sun god, actually, because he is an incarnation of Krishna. So again and again, we see the comparison here. The sunlight is compared with Krishna consciousness. And the absence of sunlight is compared with Maya consciousness, or unconsciousness. So, just as the sun is manifested in this universe, which otherwise is simply dark place, you see. The sun of Krishna consciousness needs to become manifest in our heart. Otherwise the heart remains dark place. So, the dark heart, it is not a very pleasing situation. You can sit up here, come there. If the heart is in the darkness of ignorance, as it is described here, the creation is called tamas, or darkness. Oh, yeah, you're hearing the translation. Oh, okay. So this heart is also tamas or darkness. If there is no Krishna consciousness, then we are in darkness. That's a fact. Our position is we are in darkness. Therefore, if one is simply born by a mother and father, even a human mother and father, if one does not have second birth by Guru and Vedas, then one is considered animal. You know them. The spiritual master is the father, and the Vedas are mother. So when we become initiated devotees, we have now a new mother and father. The spiritual master is our father, and the Vedic wisdom is our mother. So, to get out of the tamasic position, we require Guru and Vedas, because they will bring us into the light of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we just remain slaves of the material nature. Actually, we are being carried along by the modes of material nature. Just like in a factory, they have a conveyor belt, and they put some manufactured good, and the good goes down the line, and each worker does something. At the end, it comes out a final product. The products have no control. They're just being carried along on the conveyor belt. So actually, this material nature is a conveyor belt. And unless we become liberated by taking shelter of Guru and Vedas, we're just carried along on the conveyor belt of the material modes of nature. Somebody asked me in an email, they said, is it scripted? In other words, it's just written in the script. This is what's going to happen to you. You're going to die exactly this day and this time in this situation. It's scripted. You see? As a fact, if someone has not become Krishna conscious, then when they will die, the exact moment, the time, the place, and the circumstance is already written down in the script, just like a movie script. It's already written down, and it's just a matter of time before it happens, you see. So for one who is in material consciousness, their death is scripted. It's definitely coming, it's just a matter of when it will come. It's already there, it's in the script. However, when one takes shelter of Krishna, one is no longer under the dictation of the material nature. One is no longer scripted. Then it's simply up to Krishna when you will leave your body. And Krishna is not tied down to any script. Krishna reciprocates with the devotee according to his loving devotion. Ye yata amang prapadyante tangs tataiva bhajamyaham. Inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So if you want a life of freedom, freedom from fear, freedom from anxiety, freedom from confusion, freedom from illusion. Would you like a life of freedom? You would. Well, then you have to become Krishna conscious. That's what you have to do if you want a life of freedom. People think they'll become free if they get some money or they get a husband or a wife, or, you know, house and a car, then they'll be free. But no. The more you get material things, the more you become a slave, actually, the material nature. That's a thing. The more you become a slave. If you want to be liberated, then become a pure devotee. That's all. Become completely, totally devoted to Krishna. And then you become factually liberated. And Krishna will reciprocate with your loving devotion, and he will arrange everything for you, both in this world and the next, according to his personal reciprocation of love with you, according to your expression of love for him. So, if we ask, is man the architect of his destiny, or is he the slave of his destiny? The answer is either or. A materialistic person is simply the slave of his destiny. And a Krishna conscious man, Krishna conscious woman, you see, they are the architects of their destiny. So you have to decide what you want. Do you want to be a slave of destiny? Or you want to be an architect of your destiny? What do you prefer? You see? If you completely surrender yourself to Krishna under the guidance of his pure representative, the bona fide spiritual master, then you become the architect of your own destiny. It's foolish. The karmis say, well, I don't want to surrender to Guru because then I give up my independence. That's completely stupid. That's how you gain your independence. The spiritual master cuts free, cuts you loose from the chains of the modes of material nature. You say, well, I don't want to submit myself to the spiritual master. That's like somebody, you know, chained to the wall in the prison. They're chained to the wall, and they say, I don't want to submit myself to you. The spiritual master comes to cut the chains. I don't want to submit to you. I'm independent. I don't need you. You see? So that's foolishness. The spiritual master comes with a sword of Vedic knowledge, to cut through the thick chains of the modes of nature which are entangling the living entity. And if the person doesn't take it, it's the most stupid thing you could ever do, is to not take advantage of the mercy of the spiritual master. Because he's come to cut you loose from the chains of material nature. Tamagun, Rajagun, Sattvagun. So who would like to remain in the chains? You see. Spiritual master has come to release you from the chains. You say, no, thank you. I'd rather just stay chained up here in the modes of nature. You see. So, human life means you should become a little intelligent. Don't remain a dullhead. In English, the word is dullard. A dullard, you see. Completely, or another word, ignoramus. Someone is completely, you know. Another word is asinine, just like it's a very good word. Because the ass animal is there, and then the word asinine, an ass-like person, is asinine. You see. So don't remain asinine. Don't remain a fool, an idiot, an ignoramus. Take advantage of the mercy of the bona fide spiritual master who has come to free you from the chains of material nature. He's come to cut you loose from those chains, so you can actually act in total freedom, in total independence, in loving reciprocation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, the lifter of Govardhan Hill, which is coming up soon. That wonderful holiday is coming soon on Saturday. So, just as Krishna lifted the Govardhan, you see, he will lift us up. He will also lift us up out of material consciousness if we're willing to be lifted. If we're attached to material sense gratification, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, then Krishna won't bother with us. He'll go to others who are willing to be lifted up, you see. Krishna doesn't force himself on anyone. You have to want to become liberated from the material nature. There's enough people out there who want to become liberated. Krishna is focusing on them. And those who don't want to become liberated, all right. There's an old saying, let the sleeping dog lie. Don't disturb him, he's sleeping. You see. So Krishna doesn't disturb those who are attached to material sense gratification. But the devotees, you see, they do. Therefore, a devotee is considered more merciful than the Lord. He's more merciful than the Lord because he understands what is the purpose of the Lord. He understands the innermost desire of the Lord, that the Lord wants every single living entity back to home, back to Godhead. When? As soon as possible. See? If Krishna could have his way, every single jiva in the universe would come back to Godhead instantly right now. Of course, if Krishna had his desire fulfilled, that would happen immediately. But Krishna, at the same time, he wants the living entities to come voluntarily. It doesn't make any sense to round them up as prisoners. Krishna wants them to come voluntarily. That's where the devotee comes in, you see. The devotee travels all over the world on behalf of the Lord to awaken the sleeping, fallen, conditioned souls that they come back to their original identity as the eternal servants of the Lord. Therefore, there's no one more dear to Krishna than that devotee who preaches on his behalf. If you would like to get special mercy, if you would like to be quickly and wonderfully recognized by Krishna, then simply take up preaching, that's all. Tell people about Krishna. Tell people about Srila Prabhupada. Tell people about these wonderful books. See, connect them with Krishna consciousness wherever you go. Be confident that this is the absolute truth, and anyone who hears it and follows it becomes unlimitedly benefited. You must have full faith in this, you see. And seriously, take up spreading Krishna consciousness as much as possible, 24 hours a day, starting with your own heart. If you take up this spirit, then you will not feel the tamasic influence. You will get free from tamas. You will get free from rajas. You will come to pure goodness. So this is our humble request to each and every one of you. Do you kindly take up pure Krishna bhakti? Get yourself free from the influence of the modes of nature. Become completely illuminated with Krishna's sun within your heart. And do the highest welfare work for the people, the suffering people of this world. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
Said that when one increases his dependence on Krishna, his independence grows.
That's right.
How is that?
Yes. It may seem like a contradiction to say the more you become dependent on Krishna, the more you become independent. How is that? That's a very excellent question you've asked. Thank you very much. Well, the first thing is, you obviously become independent of the material nature. That's the first point. But one may argue, but you're a slave of Krishna, so how did you get independence? You just gave up being a slave of Maya to become a slave of Krishna. They're saying that's not real independence. You just switched masters, that's all. You went from being a slave of Maya to being a slave of Krishna. But the difference is this, you see. Krishna is not a cruel slave master like Maya. Krishna will agree to be your slave also. That's the difference. Just like Mother Jasoda, she's running after Krishna with a whipping stick. You see. And Arjuna, Krishna becomes his chariot driver. So the difference is, in your reciprocation of love for the Lord, the love will become your slave, actually, as he did for Mother Jasoda. So, that's the supreme position of independence, to become a totally sold-out devotee of Krishna. Because in that reciprocation of love, Krishna will let you be the master and he will be your servant. What could be a greater position of independence than to have that person who controls and owns the entire existence as your personal servant? Krishna becomes a personal servant of his devotees. He is ajita, he is unconquerable, but he becomes jita or conquered by his devotee's love. That is the extraordinary quality of becoming a devotee of Krishna. That you actually become the controller of Krishna. So that is surely is a position of independence. Where you have so much freedom to act that God becomes under your control. That is true freedom. Does that answer your question sufficiently, Prabhu? Jai. I'm glad. Prabhupada's mercy.
Independent of the birth, death, or the...
Yes, as I pointed out in my answer, you become completely independent of the material nature. That's a fact when you surrender to Krishna. The time of your death is no longer dictated by your karma. You become free from your karmic reactions. 99% free at the time of initiation, and then you got to work on that 1%. The residual, which gradually diminishes down to the point of zero.
And also that we are forced for all these activities, whereas when we take shelter of Krishna, we become independent.
Forced?
Forced for every things that we do not like.
In the material world.
Yeah.
That's right. But the devotee doesn't have to experience it anymore. He becomes free from birth, death, old age, and disease. Even the amazing thing is, even in this present body, he becomes free from it. You may say, how is that possible? I see the devotees getting old, they get sick, and they die. How you can say they're free from old age, sickness, and death? Because they no longer identify with the body. For them, the aging process, sickness, and death are simply something happening out there in the external energy. Just like if you go into, there may be a hurricane on the surface of the ocean, you see. You know what is a hurricane? It's a storm like they have in the U.S., the Gulf of Mexico and Atlantic. They have big hurricanes in the U.S. Devastating storms that come in. It's a big, huge whirlwind, many, many miles across. And it creates, tremendous high-speed winds. It can just break the glass in such a high-speed wind. So, even if there's a hurricane on the surface of the ocean, if you go deep, deep, deep within the ocean, what happens when you get deep enough? When you get deep enough within that ocean, there's no more influence of the hurricane. You don't feel the hurricane at all anymore. So if you go deep into the ocean of Krishna Bhakti, the aging of your body, the sickness of your body, and the death of your body, you no longer identify with it. It's just something happening out there in the external energy. It's not me. You see? That becomes realized, practically realized. Not just intellectually, I know that I'm not getting sick. I know that I'm not getting old. I know that I'm not dying. That's intellectual. That's gyan. But it actually comes to the point of vigyan. That you don't even feel anymore that you're getting old, you're getting sick, and you're dying. You don't even feel it that way anymore. Because you're totally situated in your spiritual identity. I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. I'm the eternal servant of my spiritual master. You're fully situated in that identity. And then those things don't faze you anymore. You don't feel the pinching anymore of the material nature. Even though it's pinching your body, it's not pinching you because you've totally detached yourself from your body. Do you understand? Does it make sense? Yeah. So try to become fixed in Krishna consciousness. This is the perfection of existence. Next question.
How is it possible to have a pure motive to become a servant of God if a person is in a mode of nature.
Mode of?
Nature. Or material nature.
Material consciousness? Yes. In the beginning, we don't. We aren't pure when we first come. Chaturvidha vajante mang jana sukriti narajana atoja gyasar artarti gyanita bharatarshava. Krishna says, there are four kinds of men, best among the Bharatas, there are four kinds of pious men who render devotional service unto me. The distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is seeking knowledge of the absolute truth. Prabhupada explains that none of these are pure devotees. They all have their motive. So we do come with a motive in the beginning, something that I want for myself. I want knowledge, I want money, I want relief from distress, I want to titillate my curiosity, I want to satisfy my curiosity. So everybody has a motive when they come in the beginning, but when you hear from the Vaishnavas, you read from the Prabhupada's books, you hear from the spiritual master, then you realize that it's stupid to keep any selfish desires. I should just throw them out. Because they're just in the way of actually experiencing transcendental happiness. And then, having faith in the words of Guru, Sadhus, and Shastra, you do that. You actually take up the process of purifying your heart, and you experience a taste much sweeter than the taste you got when you first came to Krishna consciousness even. Some people say, well, you know, it's enlivening the beginning, and then it loses the taste after a while. But that's a very narrow understanding of Krishna consciousness. It means you're not properly situated. If you're actually properly situated in Krishna consciousness, it's more exciting, more of an adventure, more nectarian, the more that you practice. Some people say, well, in the beginning it's exciting and then it becomes boring. That's what I hear many people say that. In the beginning it was so exciting that it became boring. But that means they weren't properly situated. If you're properly situated, it gets more, every day becomes more exciting, more exciting, more exciting, more exciting. The newness doesn't ever wear off. The newness wears off if you stay within the modes of nature. You see? Then the newness does wear off. If you simply remain, you know, a sattva-guni devotee or a raja-guni devotee or a tamaguni devotee, the newness does wear off, that's a fact. But if you can be a little daring and venture into shuddha-sattva, you see, there the newness never wears off. It becomes more enlivening, more exciting. Every moment becomes, wow, this is incredible. That I could add, there's actually this much nectar that could be tasted in this material world, you see. So one has to, you don't want to lose the wow factor of your Krishna consciousness. There should be a constant wow factor. And it should become a bigger and better wow factor every day. You see. But instead we go wow for a while and we get bored with it. Oh man, what's going on here? You know, just some kind of a rut. You get stuck in some rut of the modes of nature. It's time to get out of your rut. You see, this is the ultimate drug, Krishna consciousness. That Rupa Goswami said, it's the final drug. In the 60s, all the young people were looking to take drugs, you see, to get high. Taking marijuana, LSD, psilocybin, peyote, cactus, so many things to try to get high. But Prabhupada gave us he said, do you think LSD is a very nice thing? He told the boys. He said, this, Krishna consciousness is like a whole room full of LSD. If you think that taking some drug is a very nice way to become free from your anxiety and suffering, and then the guru, he is the ultimate drug dealer. He is dealing in the ultimate drug. He is giving Krishna prem. So you take this drug, Krishna prem. You see, if you take this drug, Krishna prem, then you will be high all the time. And you will get higher and higher and higher and no coming down. So if you're feeling morose in your Krishna consciousness, that means you're not Krishna conscious. That's so. There's no such thing as being morose in Krishna consciousness. If you're feeling morose, it just means you're not Krishna conscious. That's so. So instead of taking some drug, all you have to do is take Krishna consciousness. You see, you just need to increase your dose. It's like the doctor gives a prescription. You take the medicine and it doesn't work. So then you go back, my dear doctor, it doesn't work. Just like I did that. I went to the doctor with some thing and he gave me some medicine. He said, try this and see if it works. So I tried it and it didn't really work. So I went back and said it didn't really do the job. So he gave me something more powerful. You see? So if your practice of Krishna consciousness is not giving you a wow factor at every minute, like wow, if you're not getting wowed out at every minute of your practice, that means your dosage is not, you're not taking a strong enough dose. That's all. You simply have to increase your dose of Krishna consciousness. You have to up your dose. That's all. And then, with that, you know, and then that taking that increase, if that doesn't work, you increase it even more. If that doesn't work, you increase it even more. You got to increase the dose more and more and more and more and more until you can, at every minute you'll be going, wow. You see? Then, if you're going, wow, at every minute, then you know that you're taking a sufficient dose. If you're not going, wow, at every minute, you know you're not taking a strong enough dose of Krishna consciousness. That's all. And I have to warn you, if you're not tasting wow, you are running the danger of coming to the platform of bow wow. Do you understand? Bow wow is the way they describe, in English language, the dog, bow wow, is the way they describe the barking of a dog. Bow wow. Bow wow is the way they verbalize the barking of a dog. So if you're not experiencing wow at every minute, then you run the danger of becoming a dog. Bow wow. You see? So do you want wow or do you want bow wow? So therefore, don't run the danger of becoming a dog. Take sufficient dose of Krishna bhakti so that every day and every minute you're going, wow, this is incredible. This is absolutely incredible. You see? So any other question? I think we've run out of time. So any further questions, you can bring them to the program tonight. We'll try to go deeper into this wow factor tonight, to where you can be relishing the bliss at every minute, tasting the ultimate nectar at every nanosecond. You see? Like that. Grantharad Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.